Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is Friday, January 13th.
Oh, right, the 13th.
Lydia,
right.
Your mother's going to go crazy when she sees that you've cut holes in your mouth. What is it? Your mother's going to kill you when she sees...
In her sheets.
In your $300
sheets. $300 sheets, yeah. Good work.
We nailed that one.
Yeah, we really pulled it out. It's a new year, Jeffrey.
It's a new year. I want to say Merry New Year to everybody out there. Welcome to 2017. This is the future of the future.
Things are looking bright.
Things are
already.
Things are already off to a swimming start. I want to say I'm so glad that everyone could join us back again once in the brand new year. That is 2017. I am back from CES. Russ is back from
nowhere.
The New York
staycation.
What did you do over your little? You had a break, right?
Yeah, a little break here and there. We didn't really do anything super involved. Yeah, I don't
okay.
know. Just we made a lobster.
You cooked one.
Well, my wife cooked a lobster.
So I can't do that.
Why?
I just have a problem with like what lobsters look like.
Okay.
Like I don't like if a full lobster comes out like on a plate.
Yeah.
It upsets me.
But you're fine if it's like, is it just the claw? Like if the claw was just there,
yeah,
it'd be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
There's something.
Seeing the face.
What is it? It's this like arachnid looking sort
of
thing.
Yeah, it looks like a giant alien bug.
Right. And I don't want that.
Right.
It's like
delicious
meat inside. But I love lobster meat. I'll eat a lobster tail all day.
Totally.
But
having the whole body there, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a little more personal than I like to get. It was alive.
That's the thing too. Like, and I get it. Like, I should feel way worse about probably eating a cow than
sure.
a lobster.
Yeah,
because lobsters are like, I don't know, they're just like bottom feeder idiot fish.
Yeah,
they're not fish, but
right?
You know what I mean?
I think we don't really know the speculation of like how smart and or like what they feel and stuff like that.
Well, let's talk about it, Russ. What do you think? You put a lobster and a cow in a maze.
Yeah. Is it an underwater maze?
Let's just say for whatever reason in this universe, both the lobster and the cow can have an equal opportunity of getting through this maze.
Okay.
So who wins? The maze is fairly complex.
Yeah.
Who gets out first based on intelligence?
Based on, I got to go cow.
You think the cow?
I think the cow for sure.
So is it because it's... Because it could like move quicker.
Yeah, I feel like lobsters like are way, way more driven by like pure instinct than a cow, which like exhibits. I feel like I've seen cows exhibit like love and like happiness. Although I guess I wouldn't know the social cues of a lobster.
Aren't cows like historically dumb?
Yeah, they're not supremely smart, but at least like
they all.
I think they have. I can sense more of a range of emotions, even if those emotions are three, than a lobster where they don't blink and their eyes are just like at the end of sticks.
Lobsters like fight. Lobsters fight. They got those claws.
Cows fight.
Do they?
Maybe.
I just think cows
are so... I
think
bulls probably fight over other, you know.
In the history of food, not one cow uprising. There's never been like...
What about the bulls at Pamplona? They get pissed.
Yeah, but like... That's different. They're bred for that. You know, I'm talking about a cow in nature has never just decided to revolt. They all walk into that slaughterhouse. They're all like, hey, Joey's not coming out. He doesn't come out of that. He went in. Oh, maybe I'll have different luck. No, it doesn't work.
Well, they
like
have
that.
The Judas goat as well. Do you know about that?
The what now?
The Judas goat. There's a goat that is trained to be like super happy, and he leads cows into the slaughterhouse so they can be like, it calms the cows down as they get led into the slaughterhouse.
That is psychotic.
Yeah, isn't that effed up? And that's what he's called, the Judas goat.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And then like, as an aside, the Judas goat is like, look, it's not a glamorous job, but somebody's got to do
right.
it.
He's just following orders.
don't say that. As he just like pads his little goat wallet.
Yeah. I did want to say that I made it very clear with my wife that I was unwilling to be in the room when the lobster was thrust into the pot.
Because they do like a little lobster scream.
Right. There's speculation that that noise is really just air escaping, but you know, who, you know, clearly it like, sounds like a scream.
There's no way lobsters can not talk except for the moment they're dying.
Yeah. It was harrowing. The lobster was very tasty.
Of course, because lobsters are delicious.
It's also like way more work than I think is worth the upside. Like the meat is very good, don't get me wrong, but the effort of like precariously trying to like crush the shell and like hoping it doesn't splatter over what was like probably you're wearing nice clothes if you're eating lobster is just way too stressful for me. It's the same thing with like oysters. We learned how to shuck oysters just as like a fun aside thing, and the upside of that is like, hey, I can shuck my own oyster. The downside is shucking oysters is not fun in the least. It's frustrating, and the ups like all you get is like a tiny little like boop, there you go, there's your little oyster.
Yeah,
and then you got to do it again. It's just like a lot of effort.
True or false?
Yeah,
your first oyster should be at a buffet in Las Vegas.
I'm sure there are very nice buffets with very nice oysters.
I saw someone do that this week in Las Vegas.
Oh, they had never had an oyster before?
And
they had,
their first one was at a buffet.
Did they try to shove the whole shell in their mouth?
No.
They knew how to do it?
I think it was already shucked.
It's very, yeah, generally when they're served, they're already shucked. They're very intimidating at first.
Yeah, because it's
like, don't know what you're dealing with.
Because it's like, whose idea was it to eat this first? Here's this awesome little ear of snot.
Right.
Do you want to slurp that down?
And you needed to get to it, too. It's not like it was just sitting out there waiting for you. Yeah. You needed to crack that baby open.
Do you think the first hopes for that shell to be open, do you think it was like, oh, I'm going to find like a jewel in here?
Oh, so you think this is post like pearl?
Yeah. Like,
so you think they found pearls first and then they're like, meh.
Oh, I guess I should eat that.
I don't think that's possible because I think all oysters have the oyster inside, but not all of them have pearls.
So it's not like it seems unlikely. The other? Like in my head, I imagine.
Did you say it's not like a one or the other?
Yeah, go along with me for a second.
Okay.
In my mind, in all of the oysters that have ever been opened, there's either a chance it's going to be slimy snot mess or like a nice pillow.
Right.
With a pearl perfectly laying.
Is the pillow inside. The sentient living thing?
No, the pillow is just like what you get at a jewelry store. Like
okay.
What's inside a ring box.
Sure. So it's but there's nothing living inside.
No. It's just like God put pearls.
A nice little treasure.
God
hiding.
God just was like, oh, screw it. I'll make this exciting. This is my Willy Wonka for the world.
It's like one of those eggshells that you get at the supermarket. And like most of them have crap in it. But every once in a while, you get a bouncy ball and you're set.
Right. Thus, the idea was spawned for the bouncy balls and the eggshells.
Exactly.
By nature's Willy Wonka game, the oyster.
The bounty of
I think
we cracked it. I think that's science right there.
I think we got to the bottom of it. Las Vegas, Nevada, CES 2017.
Yeah. I want to say, Jeff, I was maybe too overwhelmed by the amount of news that was coming out of there.
You serious? Okay. I should have been playing along. Well, Russ, it was quite the busy show.
Yeah.
What with all the Alexa Amazon announcements and all the freaking driverless cars that we all saw 1 year ago.
Fridge life.
Look, man, I know I work for CNET, and we're at the forefront for technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough to stay enthusiastic about a show that refuses to be enthusiastic.
Yeah.
This is the 50th anniversary of CES.
Is it really?
Yeah. But CES doesn't feel like someone in their 50s.
No.
It feels like someone in their 90s.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's creeping along
with the walker, yelling at the pigeons, and just not doing anything beneficial for society.
Yeah, the problem is that all the companies that are like, we're going to do something amazing and really set the bar and get people excited, just have their own events. Like, why would you want to compete with like Joe Printer over here when you could have your own like standalone thing?
Joe Printer's booth was pretty dope.
Was it dope
this year?
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. That's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that like these companies sign long-term relationship agreements with
CES. Oh, really? You think for 10 years I have to show up at CES?
Yeah, I think
Because I don't think E3 works that way. I'm pretty sure it's
E3
a year to year.
Work that way.
Really?
I don't know. I think some of the, like, look, if you could lock in a rate for 5 years at a lower thing, why not do it?
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So I don't know.
But now you're paying the price.
Now you're paying the price of getting long in the tooth.
Yeah. Where'd you stay?
I stayed at a hotel called the Renaissance Inn.
Okay.
Which is a business hotel.
Okay.
It's not a bad
So there's like
hotel.
Knights running around and they're like jousting and stuff.
Yep. That's exactly
Pretty
what it
cool.
is. And there's just like, you can get like big old turkey legs.
Awesome. You know what's funny is that there is an actual hotel in Las Vegas, that, unless they closed it. Did they close that hotel?
Is medieval knights?
I think it's Camelot or something like that.
Oh, Camelot sounds familiar.
There are definitely, I mean, there's a giant castle and a wizard in it.
Right.
It was like in the 80s. Vegas boom, yeah. Where like all the really cheesy, gross hotels
sure.
opened up.
Well, like your room key is just like
yeah.
a goblet attached to something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't stay at a hotel where there's a casino, which is probably good for the best.
Yeah, probably for the best. Yeah.
Excuse me. We used to stay at what was it called? Palms. We used to stay at Palms and Palms
nice.
Place.
That has a casino.
It does. Way too far away from the convention center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me try and like. Explain what CES does to Las Vegas. It turns Vegas into Manhattan.
Do they still do AVN on the same week?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't turn to Manhattan, but the volume, the population, I want to say like quadruples.
I've been there not on CES week, and it's like outrageously crowded, matter what.
It does come off as a city that can't handle the tourism.
Because it can't, it has these giant boulevards for the cars where there really should not be cars.
Yeah, and like this year it seemed like there were more cars than ever. One of the taxi drivers I had told me that they like, tripled the amount of cabs on the road to compete with Uber and Lyft. And I was just like, that's probably a loss for everybody.
Yeah, like, that's not really going to pan out.
Yeah, it's not tough times for cab drivers in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's not the best. But as far as the trip goes, like, look, you try and make the best out of it.
Mm. You got to speak to some celebrities.
I met Nick Offerman. He was a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Carly Chaikin from Mr. Robot.
Yep.
She was a delight. I got to see Aisha Tyler. I got to see who else? That's about it.
Yeah.
In terms of the celebs. I have like interesting 10 minute a year relationships with like the CEO of Polaroid.
Oh, weird.
Mike Fasulo from Sony.
Yeah.
Like I have these amazing, like a year goes by.
Is this like a party or is this like
no,
during an interview?
Interview.
Okay.
Like a year goes by
yeah.
and we continue the conversation that we
weird.
Left off at. So like Scott Hardy is a really good dude, the
yeah.
CEO of Polaroid.
Yeah.
And like, we were just like picking up where we left off in 2016.
It's
it was
so bizarre.
It's so weird how your brain can do that.
Yeah.
You just like instantly fall back into the conversation you were having.
He's got a guy that's
well,
like.
Well, he is CEO of Polaroid. What's that?
Do you think he's got a guy who's like.
No.
Like Veep where he whispers
yeah.
in his. Okay, the last time you spoke to Jeff, he had a kid.
Yeah.
He's really cute.
Marty, Jeff loves hockey and he's from New Jersey.
And someone's whispering in your ear. He makes with the camera. The photos are just like they appear out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's exactly. We both get briefed on the same thing and have a fake conversation.
Yeah.
No, it's a weird show. I love doing the hosting stuff. I love getting up there and
yeah,
you know,
it's
we
fun.
Really treat it like it's a cool sort of
totally.
Event. We treat it like the event it's not.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Go back and watch those interviews I did. I had a lot of fun with them. Nick Offerman was like as funny as he can be with the topic. Did you watch the video?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
You're such a piece of shit.
What was he there for?
So he was there, and you're thinking to yourself, right? I'm you right now. I'm thinking.
Okay, I'm thinking some tech company paid him a bunch of money to be a spokesman.
Right, and while he did get paid a bunch of money, I'm sure,
yeah.
By a company. It wasn't a tech company. He was there with American Greetings,
the
which is the
greeting card company.
Yeah.
Sure.
The most analog Luddite
right.
thing
yeah.
there is.
Because they're like holding on for dear life.
You'd be surprised. I don't think they are.
Really?
He had a lot of data memorized that like kind of said otherwise, but cars have like withstood the test of
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
like,
I still have to buy cards.
And
you're
as
right.
much as like, look, like I'm not a greeting card enthusiast. Like I happen to think they're kind of lame just because you're using other people's words to speak for you.
Yeah.
And it kind of actually is or does lead into the whole notion of like we're losing ourselves.
But, yeah.
But at the same time, I'll also come to the greeting card's defense and be like, well, you got to like still go out and buy it and you
right.
most
and I don't want to like write a thoughtful mess like to the whatever to my landlord who I never see and I need to give a check to.
Right.
So I just buy a card and I put the check in and I write thanks.
Yeah, but I think like people, I don't know. For me personally, I will more often than not use the left side of that card to write like a personalized thing.
Oh, really?
I'll be like, hey.
Even to someone that you don't have any interaction with?
It depends on the context.
Okay, sure.
You know, you're like, hey, what you did back there was amazing. I just want you to know that no matter what happens, you and me, we're always going to be square.
We're square, yeah. That's nice.
XOXO.
Gossip Girl.
Jeff.
It does seem like cards are the last bastion of like culturally requiring paper.
Yeah, like I...
Everything else can be done digitally.
I have a love for the ink to the pen to the paper. Mm-hmm. I think that's still an important thing that we need. Yeah,
you like that crap.
I don't know, man. I just think like it was... Anyway, regardless. So
he was cool.
He was really cool, yep. And he's the perfect guy for that because he is like Mr. Outdoorsman, yep. Like... He was like, well, the lost art of doing greeting sure. cards is, yeah. you know, and like he did the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was so funny. He like, after we went off the air, he's like, he like, you know, the mics go off and he like leans over to me. He's like, and this is a pretty good gig for me.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, yeah,
I'm doing okay.
I'm like, this fits well for you, Nick. Yeah. You did the right thing here. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, so it's pretty good.
Yeah. People end up making like, I'm sure he, for like 2 weeks of work, probably made more than he did in a season of Parks and Rec.
I don't know about that, but
maybe early on in Parks and Rec's history,
handsomely.
Yeah,
you know, and the whole joke is like, this card is virus-free, works across any platform.
Yeah,
I was like, that's okay. Funny. I was like, all right, you guys thought this through a little bit, so that was a good time.
Yeah,
and then I talked to Carly Chaikin about, you know. Our overindulgence in social media.
Remind people who she is on Mr. Robot.
She plays Darlene.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great interview as well. She's very enthusiastic about smart home stuff and privacy. And
was she there? Oh, I guess Mr. Robot's off. So she was also brought on by a company, right?
Yep. That company was CNET.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we brought her out there to talk.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, to talk on a panel.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was that. I had fun talking to her as well.
Late nights on the Vegas Strip?
There was one night. My last night was pretty late, but I didn't have any other night that went beyond like 1 or 1:30.
Did you gamble at all or no?
I did.
Okay.
So I did okay.
Yeah.
I won about 280.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's not too bad. The first night, I took a bath.
Oh.
I took a bath.
So you grossed 280?
Yeah.
I
netted.
You netted 280. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
So I basically got into a blackjack game. First night I was there and lost 280 real quick.
Blackjack.
Blackjack is either going to dance with you or it's going to leave you standing there like a doofus.
I don't get any joy out of blackjack because it's so fast and you lose so quickly if you're losing.
So here's my thing.
Okay.
I almost exclusively play blackjack at a shoe. Like these freaking shufflers, the card shufflers, I don't like. They just don't.
Do you feel like you can actually count the cards?
No, it's not that. It has nothing to do with that.
You think it's scamming you or what?
Excuse me. No, I think it's not this. It's the pace of the game. The pace of the game is a little slower.
Okay.
When the dealer has to shuffle.
Okay, that makes sense. That's fair.
And
you
I
can
just
enjoy your free drink and chill out.
It's a process. I know when that yellow cut card comes out, I'm gonna have a few minutes to stretch my legs and look at my phone for a second. Whereas when you're in the automatic shuffler, you're just sitting there.
It's nonstop.
You're gonna get bombarded. You're gonna get beat up. I have more stories of my gambling.
Oh, exciting.
Legacy at CES continues.
Okay.
Right after this. Russ, every day, websites of all sizes, they're attacked.
Websites, countries are attacked. Well, like,
this is more about websites, but countries.
I'm just saying hackers are aggressive these days.
Hackers, they're so aggro.
They're everywhere.
This is serious. They use all kinds of bots to scrape website content. They break into databases.
Mr. Robot is all about
this. Mr. Robot is real and it's happening to people. you're going to want to make your website faster and safer, most importantly. And you can do that with Encapsula. Encapsula is a cloud service that works to block attacks against your site while delivering your content to your customers faster. So this is a productivity and efficiency sort of thing you're getting here.
But security as well.
Yeah, that's what I said, security.
Yeah, productivity.
Productivity, security.
Sure. All of those things.
Encapsula also caches content and optimizes connections using their CDN, so your users are going to get your content super fast.
Awesome.
All right? Encapsula already protects and accelerates over 4 million websites every day, from individual bloggers all the way up to some of those Fortune 500 companies. So whatever you got, Encapsula really can do it for you. Rest easy knowing that Encapsula's custom software and 24/7 operations are ensuring everything that you got going on is running real smooth.
Super smooth.
Super smooth. Here's what we need you to do. Try Encapsula for 1 month for free. Free is great.
Not bad.
Go visit encapsula.com/CNET. That's INCAPSULA.com/CNET. And you're going to get yourself a sweet little 1 month free trial. All right, big thanks to Encapsula. So I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
In the blackjack.
So you took a bath night one.
So I took a bath, and then the next night I'm playing, I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I had to sit down at a $25 table, and that's usually very un-Jeff-like.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'll sit down at a 15.
Yeah.
Or I'll sit down at a 10.
Yeah.
And then when I'm
what hotel is this?
So I wound up playing 25s at Cosmo,
okay.
Cosmopolitan, which
sure.
You pretty much can't find a table under 25.
Yeah, it's like an upscale.
It's a very obnoxious hotel.
Yeah.
So I'm playing and I'm kind of killing it. I've got like $400 in chips in front of me. And
wow.
I'm just like feeling it.
Yeah.
I'm doubling down like times where I normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know when you have like too much money and like the dealer shows like a four and you've got 10,
sure.
And like double down, you probably just want to hit.
Yeah.
I'm doubling down. I'm winning a few of those. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And then I kind of plateaued around 350 in chips and I left.
Okay, good.
And then the next night, so right there, I'm now up like 130.
Okay. Doing well.
Doing well. And then played some more craps the next night.
Do you like craps?
Do.
The problem I've never played craps.
Craps is a lot of fun. You got to play with someone. You got to play with someone. I feel like playing craps alone is annoying.
It seems like a group thing where like, because everyone wins if one person is winning.
Most of the time, yeah. Unless you're the dick betting on like the don't come or don't pass line. I think that's what it is. Don't pass.
Nah.
Come is a different bet.
Okay.
Yes. It's all about that, Russ.
I know.
Mind in the gutter.
So you played craps.
Yeah, and then when it all was said and done, I was up for the weekend around a week for around 280, which I consider very good.
Yeah,
my history is not.
Yeah, no. So my MO for Vegas, I pretty much despise going to Vegas. Like, it's just loud and crowded, and it's ironic because I live in New York. But at least in New York, you know where to, like, escape it, and I feel like Vegas is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
To escape that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go, I play poker. I play.
Oh, you play in the room?
I play limit poker in the room with other people. And while you won't win $300 in a minute, you also won't lose $300 in a minute.
Because it is limit.
Because it's limit. So what you end up with is, if you lose straight for an hour, you'll lose about $100.
Right.
In the right, it depends on the table and what
the blind and a big blind.
Yeah, there's small blind, big blind. So it works just like a home game,
right?
And the cool thing is, it's just like you're playing against other people. You're not playing against the house. The odds are not against you because you're playing against other people. You have as much of a chance to win a hand as anyone. They do take a rake, so a percentage of the pot will go to the house automatically. That's how the house makes money on poker, but it's still not a big moneymaker for them because it takes so long.
Right.
So only if not a ton of the hotels have poker rooms, limit poker rooms, and the ones that do are like no limit for insane high rollers, stuff like that. So when I play, I go, which is way off the strip, to a place called Red Rocks, which had a very nice poker room. And you're playing a lot of locals, a lot of like this dealer just got off work and they want to like blow off some steam and have a drink and they play poker, which seems crazy to me. I don't know why they would want to do that.
But you think it's like a stressful thing?
I know. I just think it seems weird that you're standing in this casino for such a long time and then you're going to stay in the casino and play more poker.
Yeah.
But I guess some people get a lot of it. I enjoy it for an hour or two. And
I enjoy it for
dumb.
The sport.
Yeah. But that's
you win a lot?
I don't do amazing. I'll usually leave Vegas like up like 50 or 100 bucks. And I get a thrill winning a hand that's $5 as much as I do a hand that's $150. Like, no joke. It's just like exciting to me to win the hand. Mm. So it's very cheap for me to like get that same level of thrill that I think I get from playing blackjack. But with blackjack, you're forced to put down 10, 15, 25, what have you.
Right.
So I like it. I know it's intimidating for people that feel like they don't know poker, but people are pretty welcoming to take your money. So yeah,
exactly.
You'll learn.
At least, you know what? At least in poker, you screw up, you're only screwing yourself.
Yeah.
In blackjack,
yeah,
you screw up, you could be screwing up the whole table.
Right, exactly.
So tell me, what do you do with the person who stays on 15 against a 7?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? What do you do with these
people? I mean, what can you do? You give them a sideways glance. You can't, like, put their hand in a vice.
I don't know, man. Like, I saw someone do something real bad, and I thought...
I think I would probably do that by accident if I had enough drinks.
No, there are certain rules that you always abide by. Like, I could understand if the dealer's showing, like, a 2, and you have, like, a soft 15. You're like, am I supposed to hit this? Like, how's that's fine. But, like, there are certain rules. And you ask the table, like, what should I do? Ask the dealer, what does the book say?
Yeah.
What does the book say?
But people get drunk, and then they're like, I don't know.
To all prospective blackjack players out there, if you are scared and unsure of what to do, this sentence will get you out of any jam. You simply look at the dealer, and you say, what does the book say?
Mm-hmm.
And 99.5% of dealers have that chart memorized. They've seen enough hands.
Yeah.
They know what the book says. When you're asking, what does the book say? You're saying, what is that little card that has all the maximum mathematical odds of each decision you can make, how to maximize that?
Now, let me understand this. How does, let's say, okay, so they're on 15.
Huh?
And they stay, right?
They shouldn't.
I understand they shouldn't, but they do. How does that screw you over?
The person behind them?
Yeah, the person behind them.
So it doesn't. It depends on what comes out.
But that's, don't you realize that that's a fallacy and total bullshit? Because effectively, it could help them as much as it could hurt them.
So here's the deal. I think a lot of it deals with the notion of because everyone, you want the dealer to bust.
I understand.
So
you're trying to push the dealer.
By you selfishly playing the wrong way.
Not selfish, but
no,
stupid.
It is.
More stupid.
Because when you don't play by the rules, you're giving yourself and the other people at the table a disadvantage.
Right, so it's not selfish, it's stupid. You're giving yourself a disadvantage.
By
so
giving yourself a
that's
disadvantage.
That's not selfish.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So it's not like, don't look at it like you're, you know, you're giving the people at the table, you're not, what you're doing is you're taking the rules into your own hands and you're giving yourself a way for the dealer to maybe get out of this.
Right, I understand.
And your selfish move could then make everyone else
I understand.
Move.
That makes more sense. Yeah. So you want to basically get as close as you want to 21 because it forces the dealer to hit when they ordinarily would stay.
Right, or whatever it is. Like it's
or whatever it is.
Yeah. So
I understand.
Get that.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I don't buy the other thing, which is like, oh, I would have had that card when someone hits when they shouldn't hit. You know what I mean? Like that, I think is
don't
crap.
Play poker like don't play blackjack like that.
Right,
people
ridiculous.
Do it all the time.
I understand,
but don't ever stay on 16 unless the dealer is showing a 6.
Right,
or you know, 4, 5, 6 is the 4, 5, 6 card face up from the dealer. Very bustable hand for the dealer.
It's not for me. I don't like blackjack.
Well, then what is for you, Russ?
We just discussed it.
No, in life.
In life, nothing. I live a dark and dreary life.
I'm trying to think what was cool at CES. So you heard about Razer's stolen laptops?
Only a little bit. So fill the people in because I'm one of the people. I did hear that they had a bunch of laptops stolen.
So Razer comes to the show every year with like a concept thing.
Yeah.
And
they've done like the Blade in years past where it was like the super thin, crazy laptop.
And that actually came out. But sometimes they'll come out with stuff that's like, oh, that's not. That's just concept. It's never going to come out. That's probably the case with the laptops that came out this year. These are 4K triple screen laptops.
What does that mean, triple screen laptop?
So there's three screens in the laptop.
So it folds out?
Basically, okay. like a Chinese food container.
Okay.
Is that the right one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
I understand what you mean. The paper and it turns into a box. Sure.
Right. So they have these things out there called Project Valerie.
Okay. Weird.
Call on me, Valerie. You like that song?
I did like that song a lot, actually. Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. Anyway, they come out with there's a couple of them there, right? Last day of the show, Sunday. Two of them walk away.
Gone.
Gone.
Were they like plugged in?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would imagine plugged into something because those are not really like the portable
and laptops. Also like watched by people.
Don't you think they're usually chained down?
Chained down and also like a lot, like are they normally opened for anyone to use? Like just walk up and use the prototypes?
Apparently. I didn't see it at their booth. I saw the laptop, but I didn't see it at their booth.
Because I feel like usually it's like, oh yeah, we've got this thing behind glass or behind closed doors. It seems crazy to me that like anyone could just walk up and use these.
Very trusting. Right. Of course, next year Razer's booth will be enclosed in some sort of jail cell. Yeah. They walked away. Razer CEO, don't know the dude's name, said that
I've talked to him a few times.
Well, good for you, Russ.
I think we actually met him at E3 at that hotel that you guys stay at. Remember in the lobby? Anyway,
I think you're right.
That guy. That's that guy.
Shit, yeah. Yes. What's his name?
I don't remember.
We did meet him.
Yeah.
Shook hands.
Yep.
Actually got introduced to him.
Actually met him.
Anyway, that guy.
Yeah.
Said the company's going to offer $25,000 towards information that leads to the capture or arrest.
Seems like a cheap.
Or something.
Solution for them.
Yeah, because I'm probably, but both of those laptops are worth more than 25 grand.
Not to mention the, you know. If there's actual like proprietary tech in there,
I read a quote where he almost sort of subtly points to corporate espionage.
I mean, yeah, I don't really buy that because it's like who like a marketing dude from Sony is going to swipe one of these laptops.
But like, do you want one?
What?
Like, do you, Russ?
Yeah.
Do you? Are you willing to commit?
No.
Grand larceny?
No.
Like, what the hell?
But there are people, I mean, in my brain, I don't jump to stealing as an option. So but there like, are people that will. I'm curious whether, like, it was left out at, like, where it was at night.
No, it was during the show.
Someone
Sunday.
Turns around and it's just gone.
Gone. Kaiser Soze on that
weird.
Shit. Yeah. Gone.
Cameras? No evidence of it?
That's what I'm saying,
Stick
man.
A webcam?
You think it was an inside job?
I don't know, man.
Also,
it's just like, what is the upside? Like, ooh, you go home with a cool laptop
that you can't show anyone.
That you can't show anyone, and probably doesn't even connect to the internet.
And probably, like, will call home the second you plug it in.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Also, BMW was there letting people test drive the M6, I want to say, the car. And
sure.
Someone wrecked one.
Like, wrecked?
Wrecked.
Where were they driving it?
So, you've been to the convention center there?
Not the convention center, no.
There's like a highway that kind of like runs.
I know that highway.
Like through the bottom
it's like
of
a,
it?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's not but a it's, highway. Oh. It's just like a main road.
Okay, sure.
It comes off highway-esque because there's you're looking down on it.
Yeah.
And someone just like crashed it.
Like
and
hit the rail.
I don't know what they did. There's photos of it on the internet and we actually reported on it too. But apparently, it wasn't an autonomous car, and it was also so. Apparently, when you test drive one of those cars, you sign a waiver. So, like, so dude's they're on the hook for like $1.17.
Was it a media person?
I don't know. It was a CS attendee.
They let random attendees drive those cars. I guess you could be a random person and like just test drive any car theoretically. But generally, they do like a credit check. But I guess, yeah, they probably just treat it like it's a test drive.
I think that's all it is. You don't need a credit check to do
you do put a card down to cover any damages.
Do you?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jeff just pulled up an image. That thing is toast.
Yeah, it's
that. It looks like it hit a pillar. That's not like hitting a guardrail. There's like a giant, like, it looks like they rammed into like a street light.
It looks bad.
Wow.
It looks real bad.
That car is not out yet. That's like a,
I don't know what it is, but crazy. Man, it's crazy. It is the M6 that costs $113,700.
Man.
So the person who tweeted about it, this guy Phil Johnston, wrote, someone totaled the BMW during a test drive and just dipped.
They left?
That's what the tweet says.
Oh, so no one...
The tweet says, and just dipped.
Okay, so we don't know if anyone...
I guess you got to dip, right?
I guess, but like, if again, you if you waiver, said that you signed a waiver, like they have all your information.
Or do you just...
Is it just a waiver for like, I won't sue you if I get into an accident?
I don't know.
Or is it a waiver like, I'll take on all responsibility for this?
BMW spokesman confirmed the crash, identifying the driver as a CES attendee.
That's vague.
But the car? Well, it's just the standard production BMW M6. It's a hot car.
Yeah, that's wicked. Have you ever crashed a car?
I got into one accident.
Like, how bad?
It was a very small damage accident. Mm. I did hydroplane. It was pretty scary.
Ooh, yeah. I've spun a car in snow, and that was... pretty fucking, I'm sorry, pretty scary.
It's okay. It deserves that word.
Yeah, it was terrifying, but that's really the extent. I've never gotten into like an actual legit thing.
I've been the passenger in about four accidents.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to get new friends.
Basically, that was the takeaway. So, and they were all in high school, which just like...
Well, yeah, high school kids are terrible.
And you know, like... Man, if you're 17 or 16 or 18 out there and you're like, shut up, Jeff, old man.
Oh, no, terrible. You're terrible drivers. There's a reason your premiums are sky high.
You think insurance companies don't do any goddamn research? You're part of the problem. You're pretty much why we're not going to be allowed to drive cars in a few more years.
Yep.
So take it from people who know.
It's you and super old people, both of you.
You suck it. You suck so much at driving.
Why don't all of you just move to Florida so they're all in one place that I can avoid?
You're so distracted. You have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
And like, no one ever says like, oh, maybe we make the driving age. I don't know. You can't do that, right? You can't.
I would definitely increase it.
How are you going to say, okay, now it's 21? You're going to do that?
They did it with drinking.
Yeah, but drinking's of a luxury. I mean, look, so is driving. Driving is a privilege.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it is not something that is... Definitely.
Yeah. The problem is you would get such vocal disapproval of it. And I don't trust the 20-year-old. I mean, a lot of it has to do with like, you're a new driver and you don't know what to look out for.
Right, you need the practice anyway.
Right.
But
so,
like, I don't know, man. And look,
it's scary. I see those 15-year-olds with learner's permits and it's like, oh, you are a tiny human being.
I've seen, I don't know. The accident I was in wasn't necessarily my fault. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
why did you hit the guy in front of you?
No. So everyone that went through this puddle spun out.
Sure.
So we all just hit each other.
Yeah.
So that was what happened.
Yeah. What can you do?
It was crazy. It's crazy when you see a car like doing what, like spinning out when you're spinning out and then you're like, ooh, I hope we collide.
Do you have that moment where you share like an eye contact moment?
No.
In slow motion?
I hit the guy on the side.
Oh.
It was not fun.
Crazy.
No airbags or anything like that.
Right.
It wasn't like that bad.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great either.
No, it's bad.
It's scary. Just be careful.
Careful out there, man.
Right?
It's dangerous.
Buckle up.
Buckle up.
And I'm sorry, if you use your phone while you drive.
Oh, you're a monster.
Look, you can, and people are like, well, I only use it. No. You can use, look, if you're at, the only thing I'll like be okay with.
I'm skeptical.
It has nothing, it's never when the car's moving.
Okay.
Like if you're at a stoplight and you just like hit a button on your phone.
It's hands-free and someone's calling you and you need to hit the stop calling me button.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying look at your email.
And you're at a stoplight.
Right, stop. The car is stopped.
I'm okay with that. I'll allow it.
Right, because like you can hit the radio.
Yeah,
and no one
right.
Can
if it's
like,
if it's the equivalent of a radio interaction,
exactly.
I'll allow it.
But like that's the thing. People say, well, I hit the radio while I'm driving.
What?
People will say like, oh, I should be able to use my phone because I use my...
Oh, I understand.
Like,
no, because what happens is the second you are encouraged to use your phone, you're encouraged to like look down. It's like, oh, I just got a text. Let me look at that. Right. And then it's a slippery slope.
You're a monster.
Yeah.
You are a monster and you're selfish and you have no idea the kind of trouble you're putting yourself
in. And if you don't wear seatbelts in cabs, you're an idiot.
Oh, I have too many sob stories about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what? You're about...
Oh, I thought you were going to say you don't wear seatbelts and caps.
No, I do.
Okay, good.
As gross as...
People are crazy.
As gross as it is to, like, fish around in the back.
Oh, it's the worst. They're always the worst seatbelts, and they're covered with, like, Sour Patch Kids.
You take your hand back out, and you're like, oh, there's, like, candy corn and hair all over it. And you're like, what the... Well, that wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is worth it. Buckle up.
Yeah.
Buckle up. All right, we got a few more minutes. CES 2017.
Do you want to talk about the Social Security office that I went to today?
That's in the books. Yeah. Oh, God. Is this going to be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode?
No, I just want to say there is no more depressing place on the planet. I thought I had seen them all. The Social Security office is wicked depressing. No one wants to be there.
What were you doing there?
I was helping my mom out with some Social Security stuff. So nothing fun. No one wants to be there. And I woke up at 5 a.m. to like get there. It was like a long hike to get there. And
it's okay. That's all. They're not going to need an office for that soon.
Right. Exactly. People that work there are miserable. People that are there are miserable. It's just, and the lighting, and they have weirdly loud like music blaring on the like announcement PA. What? Like you would think they would just like have it be quiet, like a library. They have like crazy loud music going on.
Why hasn't that been, you think that's something that someone just like accidentally turned the
volume
up? I
would say it's either that or they don't want people sticking around to solve their Social Security problems. If you want to turn on the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, okay.
It needs to happen. I think a lot of people out there are probably too young to even think about this right now. But if you have a parent or someone and you need to deal with their problems, it is just like... you've seen Joe vs. Volcano, right?
Of course.
It is his office in Joe vs. Volcano. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what it looks like.
It's pretty bad.
It's just like blinking fluorescent lights and horror and bureaucracy. And yeah, so I wouldn't recommend it unless you absolutely have to. But
painting a pretty bleak picture there.
Maybe if like the internet, they had like a website that worked, but no, they don't.
I got my New Jersey driver's license renewal in the mail. And I'm looking at it and I'm just like, well, I guess I don't need to drive.
Why?
Because I'm in fear that I'd have to go to the DMV.
Oh.
But thankfully, I kept digging in the envelope and it said, you don't need to go. You can just renew online.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
I still haven't renewed my picture.
Yeah, it's always like 17-year-old.
I'm 15 years old. 15 years old in my photo.
That's more than half your lifetime ago. That's crazy.
I would say one in maybe 20 or 30 TSA agents are like, you should probably get a new photo. But I've never been stopped. And it legit looks like...
A little baby.
A little baby person. Like, when I think about all the people that shouldn't be driving, I see my photo. I'm like, this guy should not be driving.
15's, that's what it is in New York, is the permit is 15?
That's for learner's permit, yeah.
See, I think there's no, in New Jersey, they gave you like a pamphlet. Like, that was your license.
Oh, just like printout?
Yeah, it was like.
Yeah, no, well, they don't give you an actual license. I think you do get a pamphlet for your learner's permit, but I did not have to retake a photo when I actually got it.
Yeah.
So it's very weird.
That is very weird. I feel like I don't know, when I got at the time of my first driver's license expiration, I was forced to take a new photo.
Okay.
So yeah, my photo looks current.
Right.
It's from like 2013.
Yeah, that didn't happen to me.
But now I'm
still
due.
Retro style.
Man, I don't know. It's a lot. Dealing with government institutions is a thing.
Got to tear it all down, man.
What else do we have, man? We're almost out of time.
It's been kind of slow. CES, as you said, was, you know, not exactly, but unless there was any other huge CES news that I totally missed. But we got the car crash. We got the stolen laptops.
So you want to hear about our party?
Sure. Was it a delight?
So...
how exclusive is that? Is that like the party?
It's one of the parties. Like, you should be attending that party. It's a hot ticket in town.
Right.
Lenny Kravitz supposed to play the show. I was pretty excited about that. I think it's 2,000 people.
Sizable.
It's Brooklyn Bowl in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Is that a bowling alley?
It is.
Okay.
Two floors.
Wow.
This was pretty cool. We were excited about it. And I want to say Tuesday night, an email goes out. I was like, new headliner.
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
I thought it was an email from Lenny Kravitz. Like, hey guys, sorry.
He's like, hey, once you dig in, you find out you can't play that show anymore. No. So everyone's kind of having a mini, you know, heart attack.
Yeah. Imagine the people that find out about that.
Well, think about it. Like, if you look for us, for employees, it doesn't matter. But for like salespeople, sure. Like, oh, my clients were thinking they were going to see Lenny Kravitz. They're not seeing them anymore. Yep. And that's not cool.
Yeah.
But
who are these people?
Well, look,
are there any listeners out there that are like, God, all my life I've dreamed of seeing Lenny Kravitz.
Dude, we're not from that generation.
Is it another generation?
It's before us.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought, but isn't that the Eddie Vedder generation? It seems crazy to me that people that love Pearl Jam would also love Lenny Kravitz.
I agree.
He's early 90s, right?
No, I think he's more like 80s.
No.
Yeah.
Once You Dig In is not an 80s song.
It's not, but like,
all his hits are 90s.
No, the hits.
American Woman was from
yes, the 90s.
Awesome Powers.
Are You Gonna Go My Way is from the 90s. But he's got hits before that from the 80s. I don't know. You'll recognize him if you heard
okay,
him.
Okay, fine. I got
to
listen back.
You don't necessarily have to look him up right now, but yeah. I'm pretty sure, because there were a lot of people there in their late 30s and mid 40s
yeah.
who were like, yo, this is going to be dope.
Okay.
And I was like, okay.
You're excited.
I'm like, they're like, it's one of those situations where
it's like Steely Dan. I wouldn't know to be excited about Steely Dan, but there's probably a generation that would be very pumped.
The Dan. Nice. I think it's a case of that where like
sure.
you won't realize how many songs you know till you see them
right.
play live.
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz has to cancel.
Okay.
He's out.
Right.
So everyone's like, oh, who are they gonna get? Who are they gonna get? Now the band that comes in to take the place of Lenny Kravitz, I was not like growing up, they were around.
Sure.
They're part of it. They're still around, very much around, in fact. Freaking out of the blue, we get Blink 182 to play.
Wow.
Pretty dope.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Like, yeah. Jeff was way happier.
Yeah, I'd be happier. I think I probably know as many Blink 182 songs as I do Lenny Kravitz.
Nah, once you hear them play, you know all the songs.
Yeah, because they all sound similar.
They do.
But I like them. They're fun. And they remind me of high school, so that's
right. They bring it back to a more innocent time and place. So people in the company kind of were split, I want to say.
Yeah, sure, by age.
Right.
Yeah.
You had a couple, like a lot of people from like 36 to 45 were like split.
Okay.
They were like, some were cool, some were not. And I just remember like trying to tell the haters like, no, like even if you don't like their music,
yeah.
you're going to really dig watching their drummer play.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Their drummer's filthy. Travis Barker's filthy.
Yeah.
I think even though he is appreciated, I still think he's underappreciated. He is a fantastic drummer. You're going to really enjoy like the spectacle that is a set of his.
Yeah.
And it was true. Like he's out of his effing mind. Dude like stands up a lot while he plays. Which
interesting.
Is like, how is he, what is
just
happening?
For fun? Or
just
are there drums up there?
No, there's drums up there. He's not a tall dude, but like he just needs to get up there.
Yeah.
Like playing the drums. He's a human metronome. Playing the drums at the skill and precision and like just fortitude he's able to operate at. Like, lifts him off his chair.
Yeah.
That's why he stands.
He
because
feels
he
it.
Levitates.
Sure. I understand.
Growing up, Blink used to open up for bands that I would go see. Like I remember seeing Blink 182 open up for Less Than Jake.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they were always in my life. And two of their records I really, really like. So I have a newfound interest in Blink 182 because they replaced the guy Tom in the band, you know, the whiny guy.
Sure, the what?
All the stuff.
Oh, wasn't he the lead singer?
They're shared lead singers.
Okay, sure. I do remember that guy.
They replaced him, with the lead singer of one of my favorite bands, the Alkaline Trio.
Oh,
so Matt Skiba, is now Tom in Blink.
So what's Tom doing?
I think he's looking for aliens.
Okay, is he the MySpace guy?
Nope.
No, different Tom.
Tom DeLonge.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not joking though. Like he's obsessed with extraterrestrials.
Oh, like Dan Aykroyd is same thing. Dan Aykroyd is.
Right, Dan Aykroyd is, but like, has it like railroaded his career?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I've seen videos of him being like a Looney Tunes crazy person.
I don't know what exactly happened in Blink, but like it obviously got in the way of them being a band.
Was it recent?
It was in the last 2 years.
Oh
or
wow.
So.
Okay.
And Skiba's like on the new record.
Yeah.
Like Skiba sings on the new record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's in the band.
That's crazy.
It's
yeah,
because
he
cool.
was like the most recognizable like voice of like sound, I think, of Blink 182, at least for their big hits.
I think so. I think Mark Hoppus, who sings a lot of their classics,
Mark Hoppus,
too.
Sure.
I like his voice too.
Yeah.
I always preferred his voice over Tom's.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Did you crowd surf?
I think there was one person crowd surfing.
Oh, no.
But like it felt like a good show. Like it was a good show.
Do people get like
loud,
wasted at that party?
People get drunk.
Yeah.
People don't hold back. You can't hold back. There's no holding back.
No, it's true. It's Vegas. You got to live it up.
You gotta rock out with
and
your
socks. And what night does that
on.
Happen on?
That was on Wednesday, Thursday night.
Okay, so it's the end.
No, it's not. It's like the night of the first day of CES.
Oh, I understand. The Thursday before, not at the end of CES, but the
right.
beginning.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And so you gotta. Those days, man, I can't
don't
do
even
it anymore.
Started.
Can't do
I
it.
Know. I don't know how. I can't even imagine going to E3 now in a couple. In
I mean,
six
you just
months.
Go to bed at 7 o'clock. It's great.
I know. It's true. That's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks so much for allowing us to reminisce about CES and all the good times we've had in the last couple weeks. I'm so glad to be back with you, man. It's been an absolute joy.
I know.
What do you have to promote for the kids?
New episode of Law Abiding Citizen.
Yes.
Featuring me and Justin McElroy, if you
and
like
you did,
Justin.
Don't tell me the game. I know the game.
The game is Far Cry 4.
God damn it. I was going to get there.
It was not interesting radio to listen to you get there.
Okay, sorry.
Justin is a demonic presence, and he commands me to do things, and I listen.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fun series. It's on YouTube, just polygon.com/YouTube. Type in Law Abiding Citizen. Oh, the other way.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/Polygon, Law Abiding Citizen. Not the Jamie Foxx middling 2015 action movie.
Right.
Which I did not realize was a thing until I started making this
and
series.
And you are now in litigation over copyright.
Well, it's more that my SEO presence is diminished somewhat.
It's okay.
But
it's
we'll
okay.
be okay. We'll beat them out.
You'll get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is there anything else? Are you reviewing any games for Polygon?
God, no. I've been streaming a few things. I played this game, Gravity Rush, on our Facebook page. So if you want to see me streaming games, you can just follow the Polygon Facebook page. I'm going to be streaming the Nintendo Switch presentation, which happens... Oh, wait, it already happened. So never mind.
Right.
According to the day it is today.
Right. Today's Friday, Russ. It's not Wednesday afternoon.
It already happened. So... yeah, that's those are the highlights in recent memory, and yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, same.
Rocking.
Same. I'm just going to go with same. A lot of stuff
Switchies.
Going on.
We'll talk about, yeah, I'm curious. We're going to, we've seen the Switch already, according to
right. so
the date.
People are probably like, I wonder why they're not talking about the Switch. We were recording Wednesday so we can go to the Switch event,
yeah.
which is on Friday, the 13th.
We'll hit it next
which
week
is
for
today.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy that. Think about that this weekend. And we will be back next time with a brand new show. Until then, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy it. All right? We'll see you soon. I am Jeff Bacalaw.
I'm Russ Frostick.
This has been the 404 Show. Thank you so much for staying with it. And we'll see you next time.